Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, what do you see? It's not a pretty picture, is it? The hair on this side of your head's probably all matted down, and the hair on this side's all sticking up. And your eyes are puffy, and your beard's grown out overnight. Maybe you have creases across your face from your pillow or the sheet. We don't want other people to see us that way. So we shower, fix our hair, shave, put on makeup, dress nice. Got to be presentable. Well, this morning here in church, we look into the mirror of the Word of God. And what do you see? Today, there is a rich fool looking back at you. The rich fool of the Holy Gospel. The rich fool who was only concerned about himself. The rich fool whose heart was full of covetous desires. Yes, he is the old Adam that lives in each of us. The old sinful Adam we want no one else to see. But there he is, looking at us in the mirror this morning. And it's not a pretty sight. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In the Large Catechism, Luther said that the last two commandments on coveting are not given for the cheaters in the eyes of the world, for those whose sin is obvious, for those whose sin we can all see, for those we know are wicked rogues. No, he says, these commandments are for the most pious folks, for those who want to be praised and to be called honest and upright people, for people like you and me. To show us that while we may dress ourselves up and look like good Christians on the outside, our hearts are not so good. In fact, they are filled with all kinds of sins, desiring and coveting what we want, even if we make everything we do look good and legitimate, honest, and upright on the outside. And so these commandments against coveting are designed not only to protect our neighbor, but to also protect us. For that which we desire to have, that we covet, that we chase after, whatever it may be, is our God. And that's why Jesus calls that rich man a fool. It's not just that he acted foolishly. In the scriptures, that word is always connected with unbelief. That's why Paul, in his letter to the Colossians this morning, calls covetousness idolatry. It is to put on the throne of our hearts someone or something other than the true and living God. And that, Solomon reminds us this morning, is vanity. A lot of the time, or most of the time, as in the parable Jesus told today, that false god is money or possessions. There's something about money that makes us crazy. that makes us suspicious of others, and that makes us look at others as in competition with us, and so robs us of the joy of life. That's what happened to the man in the gospel with the inheritance problem. He didn't even seem to care that his inheritance had caused a rift between him and his brother. He just wanted his share. And he wanted Jesus to get it for him. But Jesus wants to give him much more than that. Much more. But it's not just money. We can covet and desire all kinds of things in our hearts that make us treat others not as persons for whom Christ died, but as persons to satisfy us, putting yourself on the throne of your heart. And once that happens, once you do that, you get angry when you don't get what you want. You get indignant when you don't get the special treatment you think you deserve. You want admiration and recognition from those you so graciously and magnanimously decide to help. And when you don't get these things you covet, even in quite little matters, a great ugliness can arise from your heart. The sin spewing out within you and poisoning your relationships, your home, your life. Because truthfully, looking into the mirror this morning, you are that man in the parable, aren't you? I know I am. I may look nice and presentable on the outside, but in here, we want to have it made. We want to be able to sit back with no worries, no problems, no bothers, and say to ourselves, all is well. Relax. Enjoy. And we want Jesus to do that for us. And so when others interfere with that, with this life that we covet, even Jesus bringing into our lives those who need our help, those who need our love, who need our time, we don't like it. Please don't bother the king or the queen. Honestly, fool doesn't seem a strong enough word for that, does it? Covenanting doesn't get a lot of airtime when we talk about the commandments, like murder and adultery, but maybe it should. It's like Pandora's box. Once you open it. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So what does your life consist of then? St. Paul reminds us today, Christ is your life. He is the one who gave you your life and sustains your life. We like to take credit for what we have and what we've made of our lives, but the truth is all that we have is from Him. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you achieve, if He didn't give it, you wouldn't have it. And we confess this in the Creed. For when we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my life, my reason and all my senses, my abilities, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. And so to cling to the gifts and not the giver truly makes us fools. For Jesus wants to give you more than that. Much more. So listen again to what St. Paul says, how he presents a different picture. If then you have been raised with Christ, and you have been raised with Christ and given a new life with a new birth from above in holy baptism. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You see, he's the one on the throne at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden with Christ, which means that if he is on the throne in heaven, guess where you are. You see, that's why putting yourself on the throne here, on earth, in your own heart, makes you a fool. It's not a step up, but a step down. The throne you belong on, that you have been given, and that you are, in fact, already on, is with Christ in heaven. For in your baptism, your heart, with all its sin and coveting and ugliness, was washed clean in forgiveness. You were joined with Christ and made a son of God and put with him on the throne in heaven. The man in the gospel wanted his share of his inheritance here. But Jesus has given you his inheritance in heaven. And not just a share of it or a part of it, but all of it. He has made you royalty, sons and daughters of the King. To covet anything else is not a step up, as Satan wants you to think. He just wants to drag you down off that throne to a counterfeit throne, one that cannot last. No, Paul says, you died with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You have a new life in Christ. Set your mind on this. And though you may not look or feel like royalty right now, that reality is simply hidden. For he says, when Christ, your life, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Or in other words, on that day when Christ is revealed in glory, the glory that is hidden in you will also be revealed. Not given, but revealed. For he has already given it to you. That is why Luther wrote what he did about what you should do when you wake up every morning. When you wake up and you look in the mirror and you see the ugliness. And remember that what we see on the outside pales in comparison to the sin within. He said, make the sign of the cross. Remember who you are. And set your mind above. Repent of your ugliness and sin. And die and rise with Christ again. Don't try to cover up the old ugly sinner in you. Don't just brush him off, clean him up, and put makeup on him. kill him. Drown him in your baptism. Remember that you are baptized and be raised with Christ to a new life in the forgiveness of your sins each morning when you rise, like a little resurrection, putting to death what is earthly in you, that old flea-ridden throne we love so much, and be raised and renewed by Christ to His life. And that changes everything. For Jesus' death and resurrection has changed everything. And so we live now not defined by what we do or do not have, but defined by the cross, that you are worth the life of the Son of God. That life that He gave on the cross, and that He now gives to you. In your baptism, in the forgiveness of your sins, and in His body and blood. That we be not many kings on many thrones, all in competition with each other. But that, as St. Paul said, Christ is all and in all. That's where your life comes from and where your life is. Don't be deceived. Accept no counterfeit Christ or flea bag thrones. Use and enjoy the things of this world that you've been given, yes, for what they are, but no more than that. And be generous with them, Christ-like, giving as you have been given to. For you are baptized and live in Christ, and will relax, eat, drink, and be merry, not at your table, but at His table. And not for a time or many years, but for eternity at the feast which has no end. But you do not have to wait for eternity. Come now to that feast which Christ has put here for you. Come now to eat and drink. Come now, lift up your hearts and relax and rejoice in His forgiveness and love. The treasure stored up for you in heaven, given to you here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.